there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 23rd episode of The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast. Now we're back to our old format, just the two of us, and we're heading into the summer blockbuster movie season. And we're going to talk about a small Icelandic picture because of that. But before all that fun stuff, how are you doing, Tryggvi?
I'm actually, pretty good, pretty good. We're having a sunny day here in Iceland, which is not that common. Well.
No, and if you should deem from Hearthstone, then it is very uncommon.
Maybe, but well, not really. It's not that bad. But it's a really good day, and I'm kind of pumped because I've had time to watch some stuff, and I'm looking forward to talking about it, actually. What have you been watching other than Hearthstone?
Well, one thing that I cannot talk to anyone about, which I also mentioned before, Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to end in September. So I looked it up. Yeah. So I'm going to start soon. And I'll be ready.
I think it's a good thing to start soon because it feels like there's so much stuff going on in Twin Peaks, the new, like the return, that you actually need a week to digest it all the time. I mean, if you look at the first two episodes that was released like together.
Which I have not.
No, but if you would.
Yes.
There's so much being set up. So much being hinted at, and like you have no chance being able to figure any of it out after watching those two episodes, which is like 2 hours of movie.
Okay.
Like finally now, there's actually starting to be some sort of clues you can put together, and that's like 7 episodes into the season.
Okay.
But we have to remember David Lynch was saying that he was actually making an 18-hour movie.
Yeah,
so if it actually keeps that like dramaturgy? Wow.
Sure.
I haven't said that word in a long time. But the ups and downs of a regular movie, then like this is a third way into the movie, so it makes sense that some of the good stuff is coming.
Wouldn't that be an idea to show it in a movie theater, like 18 hours in a row?
It will probably be shown like that at some point.
I mean,
18 hours, you will really, I think you really need a break in between.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a power nap.
Maybe 9, then... a break
and then
for the night,
like
and
sleep break, nap break. That would be really nice. That it just like lower the lights even further or something, turn off the screen, and then you just lie down and sleep for, I don't know, 4 hours.
Yeah, it's an idea for our favorite theaters like Paradise and
Gloria over here.
Yeah.
Like just to name drop. A few.
Of course, we should.
Yeah.
We should always mention people who are doing good stuff, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, something that I've been spending quite some time on right now is actually this other podcast. And it's good to, advertise other podcasts that are good out there. And it's that Damn Fine podcast where they're actually going through the whole, like, Twin Peaks.
Okay.
I didn't listen all the way up to the start because I felt like I had been listening to, like, I had been watching Twin Peaks fairly recently. But it's kind of nice just going through it just because I can't get my fix all the time with Twin Peaks now.
Now
I can hear some people talk about the old Twin Peaks and then make my way up there as well. So, yeah, keeping myself busy with the Twin Peaks.
I guess
but,
that's
but other
important.
Than that, yeah.
I guess that's important. You can, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually give a little bit of insight into the whole, like, history of Twin Peaks and all the weird fan stuff about it. It's quite deep.
It's quite, so. Okay. Sounds good. I might check that out, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, it's a good way to recap, actually. If you don't feel like maybe rewatching it completely, especially like the second season, in my opinion, then it's probably good just to listen to people discuss it.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about rewatching the first two before I take on the third, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Fire Walk With Me is a good thing to just watch. That's the main thing you need.
The film.
And then I've heard the film Fire Walk With Me, which is directed by David Lynch. So it's very much Fire Walk With Me-esque, like some of this Twin Peaks season. And also, I've heard on this podcast that the Secret History of Twin Peaks, which is a book released by Mark Frost.
Okay. Yeah.
Last year, probably. That is probably the next most essential thing to watch. No, to read before the movie.
Mark Frost was actually not involved in Firework With Me, the film.
No. Mm-mm. But it was also very... it split opinions quite a bit.
Yeah.
Pretty much bombed.
When we talked about it that it was fairly good, very good actually for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really liked it.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. So, yeah. And I really like it too now, you know.
Yeah.
Probably because it's more of a David Lynch thing rather than Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
But if you expect Twin Peaks, then might not be your cup of tea.
Exactly.
And that's, again, something you have to keep in mind with this new season, because, I mean, a lot of new stuff is being introduced. It is Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. But there's a lot of new stuff also, so you need to like keep your mind open to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about all that. We don't want to go into spoilers about Twin Peaks all of a sudden.
No.
I've also, on your recommendation, started watching Master of None, and I actually made it all the way through the first season.
Well, no gold stars for making it through. You see my air quotes there?
Yeah.
Because it's brilliant, but maybe we can talk a little bit about that when you finish it. Are you going to finish it soon?
I'm on a hiatus.
Hiatus, okay.
Yeah, right now. Because I made it to probably the fifth or sixth, maybe seventh episode of the second season, and I kind of started to lose interest. Even though they do some, interesting things. They're trying to challenge the format a little bit. but it doesn't really like pan out into really good watching experiences, I feel.
Yeah, I disagree, of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Which is why we should get into it. Fight.
I was just so happy with it. It's been like a few weeks since I finished it now, but it's still kind of fresh in my head. Just so fresh and such a funny, real take on the topics he's talking about, like real topics. Yeah. Like, it's not just dating in New York. It's race and it's religion and it's all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, there's only so much you can say about dating in your 30s in New York. I mean, that's been done to death. But even that, how they talk about that, that's really fresh, don't you think?
Well, part of it, I kind of lost it a bit when he was explaining how a dating app works to an Italian woman. It seems like it tries to be this new hip thing, you know, or like trying to be clever about these new issues in the world and new formats and everything. Yet it also wants to explain them, you know. I feel like they should just like roll with it and say, okay, this is about a dating app. Like the whole first part of that show is just completely that thing. And also with the sequence where it seems like he's speed dating, for instance.
With the app, isn't that like 5 minutes of the show?
It is, but it's still unnecessary exposition, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It seems like it could be tighter, you know. It could be much more like it kind of put you down in that like, oh, why are you talking about this?
Yeah.
Like, just like keep the energy.
Tighter. I'm thinking we're gonna talk about keeping things tight later on when we get to the movie, but I disagree with you about if that statement is something you want to hold on to. Keeping it tight, because that's exactly what is absolutely fantastic about this show, is that it kind of, like I said before, I think to you, maybe on the show, I don't know, but it kind of lets stuff play out. And it's not always preaching to you. For instance, about religion, there's an episode where you're like kind of shown how Muslim males come together in a community center or something to pray. And it's just like there's no explanation about it. It's just like these guys. And you kind of think, oh my God, okay, this is how, this is normal. This is normal. Mm-hmm. Muslim stuff, mm-hmm. Islam.
Mm-hmm.
People are praying, people are worshiping, which is fine by me, if you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's just, this is normality. And we don't see that often, do we? I mean,
no. And kudos to that episode, though.
Yeah, no explanation, just tackling serious issues which divide people all the time, every day, in a kind of a funny, nice, entertaining way.
Mm-hmm. In a light way.
No. No. I object to the use of that word. And you have to remember these guys, Alan Young, isn't he the co-creator?
Yeah, Alan Young. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He played a huge part in Parks and Recreation, which a show both of us love. This is like Parks Baby.
You're trying to draw me in, don't you?
I'm you're gonna Well, if it's the last, I will try to draw you in, but you are your own man, so there's only so much I can do.
But you know, it's not like I don't like this show. Yeah. Like, I think it is good.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't quite agree with the whole thing about it's the greatest thing ever released by Netflix.
Okay.
You
can name something that's
better. It is good.
You can name something that's better. And don't say the only
one thing that I was. That's the only thing I'm thinking of right now. But, you know, like the OA also had something interesting. It's hard when you have to say the best thing
it had
released by Netflix.
That's my statement. The best thing I have seen by Netflix, original programming, we have like Orange is the New Black, which is a good program. There's some good stuff.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, very good. Actually, there's this show.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on.
No? What show? What show?
There's this thing that's just released that I'm going to watch. It's called Glow.
Yeah. Yes, and I actually wanted to get to that.
Okay, really?
Also, because we have gotten feedback.
Oh my God, really?
But, I mean, obviously from a friend of the show, but but we have gotten feedback by this guy whose name is Jacob.
Oh.
Who is saying that Glow is getting a lot of good buzz, and maybe that would be a good thing for us to tackle at a future show.
Thank you, Jacob, because I just said to Shep just this morning, Shep, we're going to watch Glow next. Well, of course, after Scum, because Scum is finishing now.
Yeah.
And we're going to devour that in a couple of days, you know. Two nights, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it's Glow.
Maybe Most we definitely. Should do Glow then.
Yeah.
Then we can talk about that in France.
Yeah, I actually read an article in the upcoming New Yorker, like online, about this review of Glow, and it's like written by a
Glowing?
Smart person. Well, yeah. it's written by someone who knows what they're talking about. You can always tell.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So that's very exciting.
Yeah. But totally, let's do that. And thank you for the recommendation, Jacob.
Very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. First feedback. We need some sort of jingle.
Yeah,
need a jingle for our feedback.
Yeah, we need also more feedback from people that are not like related or like engaged to us or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, it'll come.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll come.
No doubt. No doubt.
Patience.
Mm-hmm. But shall I tell you what I've been watching?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, maybe pick up on Master of None at a later date when you have finished it and returned from your hiatus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will.
Another thing. Well, first of all, I just watched a movie last night. That's that's not really that common.
That's new.
Yeah, it's
no. My letterbox is also just like your diary for June.
It's four films or
and Nightcrawler.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
it's a little bit embarrassing. But I did watch John Wick 2. Have you seen John Wick 2?
How? No, I've seen the first one.
Yep.
Don't like. I had no intention about.
Don't
no.
don't watch the second one.
Okay.
No.
Is it just an action movie now?
Yeah, it kind of turns into James Bond. And he's picking out guns and picking out suits and has experts telling him what he should pick and explaining it. It's ridiculous.
So he's back to being a really good hitman.
He's a very good hitman. And unsurprisingly, he's still a very good hitman. And he gets into some trouble.
Oh.
But it's the beauty about the first one was maybe the like raw simplistic kind of thing, and now they're into explaining his background, and there's a whole mafia thing, plus this James Bond element, and it's just so weak. And they set up like number three, and I hope they're gonna learn from this, because obviously they're capable of making a very good film. Like they did with the first one. I know I'm not, maybe you don't agree with me there, but for what it was supposed to be, it was very good, I think.
I can agree with that statement.
Yes, good.
Yes.
Good. Okay, I'll take that.
why should they change the format of the second movie in the third movie? Because right now everybody has run out to watch John Wick 2 because of the expectations from the first movie.
Well, maybe they should listen to people, you know, like doing podcasts and who know what they're talking about. And just do
yes.
Make it simple. Listen, simple is good. Just make it raw, simple, stylistically like perfect like it was. But this is okay, I really don't want to talk about it. It's just it kind of ruined the first one for me. This whole
That's the worst kind of sequels.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's gotten like feeling okay a little reviews. Bit with,
yeah?
It's gotten okay reviews, I think. I mean, it is a fast-paced action film, and Keanu is, you know, not speaking much, and shooting people very efficiently. And the action scenes are fine, I guess, and the pace is fine, and it's all very exciting. But maybe it's just me. I need more.
Yeah. It's not the same as it was.
You were saying about sequels?
The other one also just came. Like, the other one came from out of nowhere.
Yeah, true.
And that's what it had going for it. Mm-hmm. And now it's a big franchise, apparently.
It's going to be, yeah. And hopefully they're not going to, like, do, like, what they usually do with franchise films. The first one is good, and then the second one a little less so, and the third one a little less so.
And then they reboot it, make the remake now with someone else than Keanu in it. Young blood.
Hopefully they're going to... I mean, who knows? Maybe they will listen to us. Me.
Maybe. Let's hope. They do that. Yeah, but did you watch anything else? Something that you were happy about?
What I really wanted to talk about was Girls. And I
like the series.
The series, yes.
Yeah,
not Girls in general.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I feel it's kind of connected to Master of None. It's this kind of...
Best thing released by HBO?
No. Not even close.
No.
But very good.
No.
And I was saying, like, about John Wick, the first one. This kind of... forget that connection. But it's this...
Girls and
yeah,
John Wick.
No. Just I was... kind of making connecting the dots a little stupidly there. But
sometimes your brain does that.
Yeah, but I do connect it to Master of None a little bit, because it's it's related to it a little bit in a way that it's like Lena Dunham is like this auteur. This is her kid, and same as with Aziz Ansari, a little bit, even though he has a co-creator there. there's so many good things to say about it. It's just, I was so happy watching it. I watched season 5 and 6 now, the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care about storylines, though. If we're going to talk about the story, we can talk about the storylines and say this was really not believable and whatnot. It's the characters. And how you kind of despise all of them at different times. And they're so well written. I don't know if you agree with me there, but when you can really despise a character, like this Jessa person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just... the huge dislike for that character. And I probably can never look at the actress again without like being like, ugh, cringing, you know?
Yeah.
But when you get characters that are like so real that you actually feel, have feelings towards them, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing, because I feel like Jessa is a very well-made character.
Exactly.
And she is despicable sometimes, but she's also, you know, sweet and nice at other times. And
sure.
Like, she just acts from her own, you know, background and behavior. Like, you know.
She
and,
is.
And I really enjoy that from this series also.
But all the humor, Rune, and how Lena Dunham writes, it's just marvelous. I just love it.
Yeah.
And again, with the characters, I mean, I don't think I can love a male more than I love Adam Driver. You know.
Okay.
I mean, what like, an actor.
Adam Driver or his character?
The actor. He's just so good. Mm-hmm. Remember that scene when they when he came back and left Jessa and said he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without spoiling.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember that moment in the diner when it kind of unraveled a little bit between them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was so real, beautiful moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And how they handled it, both of them. Like, Lena Dunham is not just a great writer, she is a great actress too.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Adam Driver, after seeing Patterson and mm-hmm. him in this throughout the years, he's just, wow. He's at the top right now.
He is. That's why he's getting so much, so many roles and parts everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And why he's not so much in Girls.
True.
I think.
Yeah,
probably. Which is very, very unfortunate for Girls, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because he really makes Girls shine. Like well, part of the magic is Driver's character, at least.
Definitely.
Not to take everything away from the others, because, you know, I understand your connection with Master of None. Like, both Lena Dunham and Asari is putting focus on a group of people who are not really being exposed that much in these kind of like TV shows.
Yeah.
Not in a real way. And I have huge respect for that. And I think Girls did that at least up until fourth or fifth season. I mean, they still do it in the latest one. It just seemed like they had outstayed their welcome a little bit. It seemed like for the story, you know, it seemed like the story had ended, and all of this last season is also kind of a wrapping up. We need to move on from this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have just done it.
And they're trying to wrap it up yeah, you're right about that. I did enjoy season 5 more than I did season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think season 5 is like the lowest rated season of all 6. But for me, it was really good. And I think when you look at the characters and how they have evolved through the series, you have some really good, like, stories there, like arcs, you know, some real,
You know, the one that I enjoy the most is actually Shush.
Yeah.
I really found her annoying in the beginning. Like, extremely annoying, and just like, I don't want to spend time with this character at all. And then she just like, she grew, or like she changed, yet she didn't, you know, like that. It was such a weird thing. It seemed like you got to know her for her quirkiness and knew how she was acting. And at the end of it, she is one of my favorite characters in the show.
Yeah, me too. And I think season 5, she was one of the highlights of season 5. Probably the highlight of season 5, I would think.
Yeah.
And
she also got some time to actually shine.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And also Ray, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He
was not at... to be fair, I watched the first... most of the episodes of Girls a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
And
me too.
Then I just finished the last two on your recommendation yesterday. So I don't recall whether Ray was that much in it.
well, he was very angry type in the beginning. Exactly. I seem to remember, but and he grows up like all of them. Well, most of them. Some people don't grow up, like Marnie. You always kind of waiting for her to grow up, but she's just not.
She's just Marnie.
She's just Marnie, and she's just gonna. It's pretty girl syndrome. She's too pretty to actually go out and do something. She's kind of at least I think she doesn't really evolve. But that's the way for some people.
Yeah. I don't think she does either. Like, she doesn't evolve internally, at least.
For me,
she's trying to do her career of playing music, but that's about it. It's like a fad.
Yeah. And for me, that's the main thing about the show, that the characters ring true. And the writing is so funny. It's laugh out loud funny all the time for me. Every episode at some point, just like losing it. And I just love Lena Dunham. I mean, I was so happy when Adam came back for that little while. I was genuinely happy. You know?
Yeah. I want a little webcam in your living room when you're watching stuff. Especially like this.
Yeah.
No, but I was too, but that was because I really enjoy Adam Driver. And I think it's such a shame that he's being written out of the show. Like that. Like, it seems like it's something that happened a long time ago. Like, it could have gone a completely different direction with him being much more involved. But he, like, after the first season, he becomes famous, it seems. You know, and he starts getting all these other roles, which is maybe a bit sad. You know, because it's exactly what they're trying to say about this thing, that female voices are being undermined, and the only guy who is getting a lot of breaks from girls is Adam Driver.
Yeah.
It's ironic a bit.
I guess, maybe. It's worth noticing, I think, that the male roles are very well written, I think. Even like her Lena Dunham's dad, Adam Driver, Ray, Elijah, who like kind of became a real character there towards the end. But in season 5 at least. Very well written characters, I would think.
I really like Ray.
Yeah. And Elijah, and just when you think about this show, she apologizes for nothing. Of course, we know now that she has been self-conscious about her looks and her weight and whatnot, so she makes fun of it. That's just how people are. That's a very well-known way to deal with things. But again and again and again, she's nude. And everybody is. And she makes no excuses for anything. And it's just, I don't know. She's maybe single-handedly kind of normalized this type of thing. I mean, well, I don't know.
Maybe.
That plays, how normal it is in this show, the nudity.
Well, at least in the US.
Yeah, you know, like, exactly.
This kind of nudity is fairly normal in Denmark, at least in Danish films. It's not something that you like notice that much, but for a show like that, I think also HBO is known for like going to the border and a little bit beyond with that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And
but it only adds to the realism of it. I mean, why would you cover your breasts like with a towel or something? Or why would you wake up and just be you know.
Exactly. It just hammers it home how real it is. And this is, I'm a believer.
It's really real.
I'm a believer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to compare it to, for instance, John Wick 2, I mean, if we're talking about nudity, you have this chance, have this chance in that film where a beautiful woman, goes into a pool type of bath kind of thing. And the obvious thing would be to show her body.
Yes.
At least after having been watching girls, it would be the normal thing to do. But of course they don't. They don't. And it's just...
No.
Really, people? I mean, it's about the ratings, isn't it? It shouldn't be like, I don't know.
It's because they want... I don't know what the rating for John Wick 2 is, but they probably need to hit that teenage boy mark. So if they put on too much nudity, then it becomes an 18 thing, and then they don't earn that much money. So it's all about those ratings.
So ridiculous in the US with the ratings, because you have like heads blown up almost every minute of the film.
But if it's only like two,
but breast or two? No. That's too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole fuck thing. If you say the word fuck like three times, then, or more than three times, then it's just, then it's getting an automatic 18 plus rating or something like that. I remember that John Waters, the very famous director of, Crybaby and Pink Flamingos and stuff like that, he always just put in extra scenes around that. Like in Crybaby, he has a scene where they just use up all their fucks, you know, all the fucks that they can use, you know, just to keep it at the right level. But still, they just have to point it out. Yeah. Well,
I promised myself I would like talk about girls passionately, and I would use the word fuck and ass and cock and whatnot, you know. Because let's
now
make
we have
this
to put this podcast explicit, to be an explicit podcast.
Explicit podcast, yes. But that's a fucking good show, and Lena Dunham is fucking awesome.
I didn't realize that she was the one doing Tiny Furniture, her debut movie, and it's been on my watch list for ages, and I've never gotten around to watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Googling.
Yeah.
Didn't
tiny
know.
Tiny Furniture.
Didn't know. Maybe just 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was just before probably Girls started, or maybe it was around the same time.
Yeah, it's probably a little
bit
before.
But a lot, she got a lot of buzz from that movie.
That's 79% at Rotten, so that's...
Yeah. And the other day I thought, well, like, since she is the one making that one, maybe I should just get around to watching it. So I started it up, and then Raska woke up.
Ah.
So I've now watched the intro to Tiny Furniture.
Okay, I'm going to watch that too.
Yeah.
I owe Lena Dunham.
It's probably completely
that.
Yeah. It's so much up your alley, probably.
Yeah, I owe her that. That's absolutely what I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyways.
Yeah. I have to go on record here saying, I also really like Girls. I was just not that taken with the sixth, and also like the fifth. But it kind of started wearing off there, like the magic started to wear off. But it's a great concept. I love that show for what it is, but I felt like maybe it outstayed its welcome just a little bit too long, you know.
And I must disagree a little bit about that.
A little bit.
I mean,
but not quite.
I guess it's difficult to wrap things up, you know?
It is. There's always that, like danger of being a bit too sentimental and trying to like find the right solution for everything.
Yeah.
Like I had the feeling like they should have maybe like started with the like 3 or 4 episodes and then come with that 5 months later, or yeah, you know, maybe that they did here, and then maybe take that part, because that was the very last episode of Girls. I was actually kind of engaged, but probably because of my situation right now, that there's a lot of things that you could actually like recognize and, you know.
I think though that the character study in these like maybe final 2 episodes, it was just, it continued to ring true for me.
Yeah.
Even though, like you say, it outstayed its welcome, but I think even if you could say that, and I'm not saying you can't, I'm staying positive towards it.
Yeah.
I mean, the characters still
that's great.
Rang true. And, yeah, it was one way to go. And who am I to criticize Lena Dunham? I am in no position to do that. She's a visionary.
You said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that note, should we go into something else, like Hearthstone?
Yes, let's do that.
Oh, we had it home then, with the feelers.
Oh, the crafty. Those are my feet.
Hvað að frétta þér á Kristjáni?
Einhver kærstir?
Ég held að sé nú bara sátt þér að höppast á hverjum öðrum, sko.
Fokka þér.
Fokk,
ég
er
ekki að bæta. Ég er
það
að hún.
Hi, Beta.
Hi. Hi.
That was a part of the trailer from Hearthstone, the movie we're going to discuss this time. A little Icelandic film in the season of American blockbusters. And,
yes.
It's, a very commonly used phrase, coming of age story. In a remote Icelandic fishing village, and we have a story of two boys with difficult feelings, strange feelings towards each other. Wouldn't you say, Rune?
Or normal feelings, not knowing where to focus their attention.
Yes, normal feelings, but they don't know that, don't do they?
No.
Exactly.
No.
That's what I mean. The film.
You
has
really
been,
wanted to watch this movie.
Yeah, I've been waiting a while to see it. I've been nagging you about doing it on the show, and now we finally have. It's been doing the rounds of the festivals, like I've mentioned before, and doing
yes, apparently
really, really
it.
Well.
Apparently, it won the Audience Award at the Copenhagen PIX, the festival in Copenhagen last year.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah, it's a 2016 film.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
And it has got some awards, like important awards, like in Venice, like this LBGTQ.
You say
the
Copenhagen PIX award is not important? What?
It's very important to Danish people.
Yes.
No,
yes, and Icelandic people.
I'm just kidding. It's I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But in Venice, what did it win?
There's a special award for contribution to LGBTQ culture kind of thing. Films, and it won that, and another one similar in the Chicago Film Festival. So I mean, that's the hook, isn't it? The gay hook, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I didn't read anything about this before I went into it. But unfortunately, one of my friends said, "Oh, that movie about the homosexual teenagers.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, I didn't know anything about that. I think somehow I would have enjoyed the movie more had I not known about that angle. Because right now, like when I was watching it, I was just looking for that relationship all the time. But obviously, this movie is about people exploring their sexuality and not necessarily knowing what they want or what is right. Of course, they come from a small fishing village. Do you know, like, as an Icelander watching it, do you have a sense of where this is?
Well, I know where.
Or just any.
Yeah, read where. I mean, the director is drawing on his own experiences a little bit. It's also fiction, of course. But he grew up in a small town called Þórshöfn, very small town. Mm-hmm. But it's shot in Borgarfjörður Eystra, which is a small town also.
Okay.
And
where in, like, northeast, west?
I think, it's ridiculous.
Geography
from Icelander,
stuff.
But I know it's like northeast part of Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But this fishing village that it takes place in doesn't seem like the community is very open towards otherness, or like if you're diverting too much from the norm, then it's kind of a bad thing.
And it's also because the time this is supposed to take place is a little fuzzy.
Yeah,
we have no cell phones.
I was like always looking for those. Yeah, I was looking for those cell phones. And like, this is not supposed to be now.
This is not supposed to be now. But still, the attendant at the place where the kids assemble and buy French fries, he's looking at porn on the internet.
Yeah.
So it must be at least late 90s, which would
which would
make it strange that there are no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I got my first cell phone in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think I got my 99.
Yeah.
Now we have that off our chest.
That's on record now.
Yeah.
So that's a bit little bit weird.
Yeah, I think it was that computer scene where I started thinking, like, when does this actually take place? It was very like it had the feeling that it was even more isolated since they didn't have any cell phones. Yeah. But it was also it drew me a little bit out of the movie because I was thinking of that. It seemed like they were deliberately keeping something away from us.
Yeah, actually, about this, Shep, I mentioned this to Shep, and she said something along that, like, it's obviously flashes of memory from the past. It's somewhere in the past. But where in the past? But, I mean, maybe this doesn't matter, Rune. Maybe this doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. But still, it's
maybe
worth
it
mentioning it, I would think.
There is some sort of dreamy quality to the whole movie.
Yeah.
I think with the way it's shot, it's very, very close. It's very, like, up in your face kind of stuff. And it wants to be poetic.
Yeah.
And maybe that dreaminess, or like flashes from the past, maybe that fits completely into that vision.
And he's not really using landscape as much as people are doing in Icelandic films that have been successful these past few years.
No.
Like in, he did this guy's Sturla Rath Grövlen, I think he's Danish. He shot Rams also, Hrutar.
Yeah.
Very good film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a very good like connection to Denmark, because it seems to me that half of the cast is actually, or like not cast, but production crew is actually Danish. Like, it's very much a joint effort making this movie, even though it's very much an Icelandic film.
There's a huge Danish connection in production. Mm-hmm. Like the editing, the editor, Janus Billeskov Jensen. This is a big name.
Janus Billeskov Jensen.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Just to pronounce it correctly, right? Now that we have a Dane on the show.
Let's do that.
You have to work on your flat A's.
Yeah.
Janus.
Janus. Well, he did Jagten.
Yeah, and so many other amazing
Smiller,
movies.
A Sense of Snow.
Yeah. The Act of Killing documentary.
Maybe he Very should good. Have said something about the length of the picture. Since the editing room is a place where you kind of... I'm thinking they had a discussion or two about that.
I think so. And it seemed very much deliberate. The pacing of this movie seemed very deliberate to me, even though it was a little bit long. I watched it by myself in Gloria, as we talked about earlier, this very great cinema, at 9:15. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit late for me to watch a 2 hour and something minute movie. So I was struggling at some point.
Yeah.
Right when that whole dramatic like end point of no return comes for Christian.
Yes.
I have the feeling that I had myself a power nap. but to be fair, it didn't seem like I lost a lot of plot. I came to again when Thor had a serious talk with his girlfriend.
Yes.
I don't think a lot happened in between. It didn't seem like that. And I looked over my shoulder. So I was like, okay, nobody probably noticed this. and then I was wide awake for the rest of the movie. But I do think this was because of the pacing of it. Because... it dragged on. Like, some of the scenes really dragged on.
It's too long. I'm just going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Mm-hmm.
but I want to be positive, like always. You know?
Yeah.
You know me. Always the positive.
Yeah, we try. We try.
We try. But and I want to say that there's so many good things about this picture. And I wrote some down. Did you? Yeah.
Thank you, because I have a list of things I was displeased with, but I did like the movie, like, overall.
Yeah, it's above average, at least.
It's above average.
We'll get to that. But it's important to talk about the good stuff. We have very young actors in here, very young actors, and these are basically kids.
That's always a challenge.
Oh, yeah. And apparently there was a very long rehearsal process where they, like, really, really taught them, I guess, and directed them. And that's really well done, because these are good performances all over there. I must say,
it's completely believable.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed though in Christian, the beautiful tall boy, and Thor, the short, awkward one. Of the two, I would think Thor or Baldur Einarsson, he's called. mm-hmm. was had the better performance. But at the Icelandic award ceremony, Eddan, he mm-hmm. the other one got the best actor prize. Christian, okay. who's called Blair mm-hmm. Hendrickson, he was good, mm-hmm. but the main yeah. focus was on Thor, and he did a really good job for me. A really good job. Mm-hmm. Also, in that we had best supporting actress in his mother, Nunatak. She okay. was fine. She was fine, but not Christian's father was way better, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion,
yeah.
Let's emphasize that. It got like I think 10 prizes: script, director, best film, okay. blah blah blah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but acting, very good. I was very happy to see a Danish actor in there, Søren Malling. You know, from Dick Dan for Brielsen and Born,
yeah,
for instance.
Yeah, and so many movies. Like he's a favorite, one of the favorite Danish actors.
Yeah, he's a very accomplished, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah, Søren Malling. Just to
Søren Malling. Søren Malling.
Like that again? Yeah.
can I try one more time?
Yeah, I.
Søren Malling. Søren Malling.
Yeah. Exactly.
Almost. Mm-hmm.
He's a very good actor. And I also enjoyed seeing him because he was playing a stupid fucking foreigner.
Yes.
You know. and I could project myself into that character. Like, granted, I don't own horses or a farm or anything, but yeah, he was trying to fit in, but like he really couldn't in that that fisher town. Like they didn't look at him right somehow. But kudos to the mother for actually giving him a chance.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Other good things about this picture: music. Mm-hmm. You have so many great Icelandic artists in there, like Sigur Rós, Trapa, Sugar Cubes,
Gus Gus, Sugar Cubes, yeah,
Emiliano Torrini, Mukison, lot of good stuff. Yeah, lot of good stuff.
My problem with that, though.
Okay. It's from different eras.
And it's very good music. And I was also thinking the same thing. I was also thinking, this is very odd that I know all this music. This is music I listen to. It's great music. And it seemed a little bit like promotion of all the good music from Iceland.
Yeah.
Stuðmenn, Mukison, Björk, well, Sugar Cubes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gus Gus, Sigur Rós. It's just like, find someone a little bit smaller. Could you, like, someone, like, I don't know, like something that defines it a little bit different.
It is a huge ensemble of musicians there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a best of of a lot of good musicians.
It is.
But I was thinking about the soundtrack. If they release a soundtrack CD from this, that mm-hmm. would be a good purchase, you know?
Yeah, also from people outside of Iceland, like as an introduction to Icelandic music, because it is all the popular stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff. Well,
I have to like stress Mukison. I really love him. I watched him here in Copenhagen not too long ago.
Yeah,
and he was amazing. He's an amazing musician.
He's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. I even have a friend who named his dog Mukison.
Okay. Great.
Or Mookie.
I just saw actually two documentaries about where he's one about his free concert after he like broke all the sales record in like 2012 or 13.
In Harpa, right?
Yes.
He had the opera house in Reykjavik.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's more of a music house.
Yeah, a concert hall.
Yeah, concert hall. Huge. But, and also where there was this choir, male choir, Fjallabræður, going to what's the studio called, famous studio, Beatles studio in London,
Abbey Road
studio, to record a CD, and he had a song there. So he came, it's just funny, you should mention Moogie song. It just,
yeah,
in the last 3 days I think I watched two times where he's and I have huge respect for him. But for me, music, it's good hearing good music.
Yeah. It was good. I mean, and you can't really fault the movie for it. It was more like my feeling about like using that music.
Yeah. Production design, no complaints. Costumes, very good. Same person as did the Sparrows and Eldfjall. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention Sparrows because it was our second episode where we did Sparrows. Yeah. Much less lauded film, Sparrows, than this one. But in my opinion, a better film than this one.
I think so too, because after watching this one, you were kind of just left with, so that was that story. Mm-hmm. Where Sparrows actually like started some thinking in your head.
Yeah.
Like, that's usually...
It tapped into something massive. Although the gay thing about this one is also...
But I think the movie also set out to do something different than Sparrows. Like, Sparrows is very much like looking back at your past, where this one is... reliving it a little bit. It put you in the situation of being a teenager, like in the midst of puberty, and all that comes with it, you know. Of course, it might not like reflect completely on your own situation, but there ought to be a few things that you can recognize. So it's more like this recognition movie. Like you watch it and you're like being taken back to your own past.
Yeah.
Rather than like giving you something new per se.
And it's somewhere in the past. It's not really, it's not current atmosphere, definitely.
No.
I want to mention a couple of more things. The look of the film, the shooting of it, the photography was very good, I think. And I did mention that before. Also, there was some interesting stuff with the imagery, like right in the beginning where they're fishing the cod by the pier. They get one different one, which is this is something I know about. When I was a kid, we used to get these fish. It's called marsnutur. Yeah. I don't know if I don't remember the English name. It's not something that you eat. It's very.
Was that the kind of fish there?
Yeah,
the same
it's
one.
It's the same one. Yeah. You can always find them when you're fishing from the piers here. In Iceland, most parts of the country, I think. And just how they treated that one, the guys.
Yeah.
Just not pretty. And it was just like right away they show you the feeling towards something different.
Yeah.
It's not like just let him go and let him live in peace. Let's just murder the crap out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just something they've been brought up with, because they are like at this point where they're extremely innocent as kids, you know, and entering puberty where they have to find their own way, and they choose to murder. Stenbider, like fish.
Yeah, they killed the cods too, but they were for eating. This one they had no reason to kill, really. It's just because he was...
And the one person that is different was trying to throw him out again. Yeah. So there's all like right away you have that connection with this one is a little bit different.
Yeah. True.
You know, I like that setup. You know, I like that setup, but it also set up the movie to be more poetic than I felt that needed to be somehow.
Mm. Okay.
But it was a very nice setup, and I also kind of enjoyed the last scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow it was nice bookends to this like small story.
True. I've covered the stuff I liked. Shall we go into the stuff?
Should I? Maybe I should see if there's something else that I actually liked about it. That was it. Actually, I don't quite agree. I commented on the things that I didn't quite agree with, but like one of the things is like the Danish aspect. Like I thought it was fun seeing Søren Malling there out on the farm.
I was really happy.
It was a bit weird, but it was fun. How did you like his accent? I was really just sitting there listening to his accent and being like, you been rehearsing these lines?
I didn't really think about it. It's just something, you know, foreigner.
Yeah, okay. Fucking stupid foreigner, as they said later.
Yeah, he's different, and he's like condemned for being different. You know, he's talked about in the town.
Yeah,
he's from a different country, even though he seems like this great guy.
Yeah, he makes and he makes a living. You know, I mean, and he has his farm, and like he survives. He's tough.
Yeah,
he's a tough Dane.
He's a tough Dane. You don't see many of those.
No. Exactly. No, so I enjoyed that. I thought he did a very good job, actually. I actually believed him.
I did
like,
too.
I was worried when I went into it, because here it's very much being pitched as this movie, like Icelandic movie with Søren Malling. You know, even though like his part is probably just like 5 minutes in total or something that he's actually on screen.
True.
But I expected that. But it's being pitched like that, of course. You know,
we cannot complain about the acting from him or from anyone else.
No,
in the picture. The acting is very good.
Not at all.
Nothing I can pick at there.
Yeah. And as you said, like working with kids this age, I mean, you always like have to have respect for them, especially if they make these kind of performances as they do. You know, I mean, they're acting a very difficult time of their lives.
Okay, yeah.
And some of them actually seem like they are at that time. You know, they have all the pimples, they have all the like, they haven't gone through puberty, all of them, or like are in the middle of it. You know, and then they're acting this stuff out. That's impressive.
I would think it's difficult to achieve that intimacy we see between the two main characters from actors that age. There is tension between them the entire picture. Like the scenes where they're being painted. There are some powerful scenes in there, isn't there?
But you also have to put some of the credit on the editor in those kind of scenes, because I mean that can really create tension. And he is a very accomplished editor.
No doubt, and he's a Dane, isn't he?
And he is a Dane.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Should we mention what movies he's been editing?
Smidler's Sense of Snow. Jagten.
Yeah. And also House of Spirits.
Yeah, Billy
with August. Meryl Streep. Yeah.
Billy August.
He's been
also
on
Smidler.
It for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he do Mifune Sisang as well?
I actually think so.
Maybe that was Well, someone worked on that from either it was the editor or the or Sir Malley. Malley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, anyway, he's accomplished, and like you know that is also part of it. Like, it requires a lot of all the other aspects of the movie to make something like this work, because maybe it's that, like, that chemistry, maybe it's not right there in the actual scene, but when you put it all together, then you create that tension mm-hmm. that you have between the characters.
True. You can argue that the two Danes, I think, isn't he Danish, the director of photography? Well, he's called Sturla.
It's not a very Bovland. Danish name.
Maybe he's partly Danish or something. Anyways, if you take the work of those two, you can say that mm-hmm. they have a huge effect on the film. So mm-hmm. let's just say that there's a huge Danish effect of the whole experience. But mm-hmm. Let's get to the stuff we want to, you know, pick at.
The bad stuff.
Long. It's too long. That's my opinion.
It is too long.
It's the script is, it kind of loses its way a little bit there when the exciting incident happens to Christian, where he is desperate.
Yeah.
After that, it's a little bit weird for me.
Yeah. And you know, I also have I don't like when they go to that place, the Christian issue, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they could have handled it in many different ways, but this is kind of like the, oh, it has to go this way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk about without spoiling it, but at least I think they should probably have tried something different than this one. It seemed like, well, the easy way out.
Also excessive, I would think.
Yeah, and excessive, because it didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. But maybe that might be because Christian's performance, also in my opinion, was not the best of them, you know? You know, like, Thor was much more believable, and like I didn't get that much of a sense of him.
Yeah, the real inner struggle,
like the real trauma he was going through. Yeah,
inner struggle and pain he's going through. It's so heightened in that scene, and mm-hmm. what happens to him? It kind of doesn't really ring true.
No,
it was a little excessive for me.
Yeah.
So the script it loses its way a little bit. I want to say also.
So that now nobody probably knows what happens to him.
No, probably not.
Nobody knows.
But
anyway,
the biggest problem for me is that it was too hyped. I can only go on my own experience here. I've been wanting mm-hmm. to see it for months and months. I finally see it, and it has all these prizes and this huge mm-hmm. buzz. And for me, Sparrows is a better film. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I think it's actually a good film. It's his first feature, the director, Guðmundur Arnar Guðmundsson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go and do a lot of important stuff, maybe.
I think he definitely has a thing for directing kids.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's a great trait of a mark of a great director.
I think he's working on a project where there's also like young people, but maybe a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Group dynamic. I read some male group dynamic, a little bit older. Okay. So. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say he did a good job. He did a good job. I want to also say that I looked at the production crew, the crew of the film, and I compared it to Sparrows.
Yeah,
it was a much bigger crew. If you believe Instant Movie Database, the number mm-hmm. of names. It was a much bigger crew, bigger production than Sparrows. Maybe I'm holding too tight on to Sparrows because I'm a huge fan of that director, Runarsson. Because for me, his first was the best Icelandic film I have seen, Eldfjall, Volcano. But I want to say one more thing about this one. For Icelandic cinema, this whole coming of age type of movie set in a remote village, isn't it enough already?
That's exactly my problem with this movie.
Maybe we need to move on a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I hadn't heard anything about this movie, and when I saw some pictures from it, I was like, oh, it's one of those movies again.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know what you're going into, and they're always setting it out here. I've also been reading like a few reviews from Danish reviewers, newspapers and stuff like that, and they're all like giving it really great ones, like great reviews, and mainly because of the setting, or like a huge part of it is because of the setting, because it fits so well into this like coming of age, and like nature is erupting and something is going on down below, and you have that rough stuff, and I think I'm just beyond seeing that somehow. Like, when I see this, I'm thinking, oh, Iceland. Like, I'm getting a little bit of like sentimentality about it, like seeing some of these things that you recognize, but also like, yeah, it's like that, but I don't accredit it to the movie. Like, I don't feel like it's necessarily what should be a part of what they're going through, but of course, but I'm just like, do something different somehow.
So maybe if you haven't seen all those very good films, I can name a few. You can look at these coming of age stories, Icelandic films. You can, Paris Norðursins, Paris of the North, Metalhead, Malmhus, Sparrows. And some pictures that are related to it, like Rams, like you see the countryside, and Eldfjall. All these films, all of them, better than this one.
Yeah.
That's my problem also, when you have so much hype, and even from people who have seen all the other ones, are hyping it so incredibly, it's a little bit annoying.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit annoying, and when you put it in the context of really good films, Icelandic films, it just doesn't. It's not in the top, among the top films, but not far off though. No. And
I mean, there's some good efforts, and maybe also the fact that he's a debuting director. And making a movie like this as your first is an accomplishment, you know. And you have to get it through your system. You have to get that Christian issue through your system, and you know.
I agree with you.
I don't know. The next movie might be something brilliant, and that's what they're giving him credit for.
I can't really blame him for the hype and for the reviews. No. Often with reviews, you have some respected people who give it 5 stars, and everybody follows. The buzz is there, and the viewers follow.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the thing. That's how it happens. Mm-hmm. So, history will show that good movie, but lacking.
Flawed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Now that you said that it's getting like 5 stars and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How much did you give it?
I stayed positive and gave it 3.5 stars. That's 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
I think I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So still good movie.
Still a good movie.
I opted for 3 stars.
Yeah. It was three or three and a half. Yeah. Three or 3.5 for me. So it was 3.5 because it's Icelandic and there was really good efforts, like you say.
Yeah. I was also on the edge there. Yeah. I was just thinking 3 or 4. It was just not a 4.
It's not 4.
No. So yeah.
And I always keep going back to. Sorry, I always keep going back to the average score on Letterboxd for Bad Moms being 2.5 or over that. So
yeah.
I can't be going anywhere near that.
No. I mean, and it definitely doesn't deserve 2.
No.
It's a much better movie.
Yeah.
Than that. It's just like you want things like this to be great. And like also of the subject matter, and you know, like it's a very good effort.
I might have been more positive had I not kind of read about it and taken in all the hype, and if I had not known about the chemistry between the two boys,
mm-hmm.
and what it's about. But they say that in the trailer, anyways, and the description. So they're not hiding that.
Yeah.
But you're always looking for that, like you said.
I do think if I hadn't known about it, I would have been more open to the possibility of other love interests, in a way. Like when they were doing that very, very boyish thing in the beginning. Somehow, like trashing cars just for the sake of trashing cars. And they have that moment of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, okay, they're both like kind of exploring this thing. But obviously, there's more of a side, like one is more than the other. And like, I had just not seen, like, I was always trying to look for those emotions in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and I accounted a lot of his actions to that kind of frustration of not knowing, but obviously the it wasn't right, like it wasn't there for him, but it just seemed that way to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I guess.
I was just a bit I was a bit tainted also from what I had heard about it.
There was one thing I was a little disappointed in. I thought he was going to do this cool thing. Okay. At first I thought Thor was the boy with the impure thoughts, you know, towards his friend.
But because of the action there in the car, right?
True. It was a lot to do with that. But also because the point of view was his. Then, in like before half of the film, they shift the point of view a little bit to Christian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was going to like shift it. But they just did it for a moment. And it was back to Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't really go back to Christian.
No. Not at all.
So I thought they were like doing...
It was very much Thor. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they were doing like a half an hour of Thor. And they were just like, I'm going to shift it. And if they had continued that and gone from his point of view, I thought, oh, yeah, they're going to do that now. Okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't.
No.
So there was like a small part where the point of view was his, then they went back to the original Do you understand what I mean? Do you?
Yeah. I understand. I understand, and I agree with it. And I think again, I'm not sure that Thor was the most important character to follow.
Yeah.
Somehow. Mm-hmm. Even though that, like, he did a good job with it.
Oh yeah.
Of course, it might be a bit more obvious following someone like Christian. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's between two chairs in a way.
Yeah, it seems like Christian's story was much more interesting, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had the.
You actually had a sense of who his family was and like what kind of issues there was going on, even though it wasn't spelled out that much, you know.
Yeah,
but they didn't go much into detail with Thor's background.
No,
or family relation at all.
But they had the father and the mother with Christian, but they had the sisters with sisters. Really good performances there, by the way.
Yeah,
and I would have liked them to put the point of view from Christian there for at least a longer while.
Yeah,
because you had then this you really, also have, really good actor in his father, Sveinn Ólafur Gunnarsson, very good Icelandic actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyways, it's
anyway. They didn't do that.
They didn't do that. I think we're not going to get much further with this. What do you think?
No, I don't think so either. And our idea of keeping the show under 1 hour is, per definition, not going to happen.
No, difficult every time. But that's because we haven't like talked just one-on-one for like a month.
Exactly. Yeah. It's great doing this thing again.
Yes. Yes. So,
and also wine and everything. Yeah. Wine and beer.
Yeah. Beer. It must sound keeps to us people going. That don't know us that we're always drinking.
Yeah. It's the one time the 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yes.
where you can have a beer. That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Actually,
it is
quite right. I don't drink beer that often anymore, but this day is like, it was after our Christmas show.
Yeah.
After our Christmas show, it's just like, this is what it needs. Yeah.
This fits. This is what we should do. So I have my two beers every time. And, you forgot to buy a beer?
I didn't. Well, I forgot. I didn't have time.
Oh, you didn't have time. So it's red wine for you.
So I had to go with the red wine. But it was nice. It did the trick. It was nice to have company by my Zinfandel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
the one thing like that I like just to talk about Frasier that like we did before we started here.
Yes.
I remember there was a joke about a Zinfandel with wine or something. Like Niles was saying, like then they drank Zinfandel with the fish. You know. And when I watched that the first time, when I was very young, I was just like, I mean, I enjoyed Frasier, but I didn't get that joke at all, you know. But now I'm like, oh, Zinfandel. Oh, yeah, that one, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that's about it for this show.
Next time, Rune, next time, big things happen.
Big things. We're going to talk about Scam. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You took it from me. We're probably going to dive a little bit into Wonder Woman as well.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, because both of these movies have a focus on female characters and female empowerment, and maybe those two will go together. Probably different aspects of it and different ways of showing it, but nevertheless.
Huh. Should be interesting. Two middle-aged males talking about female empowerment. What do you think?
Yes. Maybe we should think about getting some opinions from our better halves.
Yes, which are definitely going to come with us to the movies and what's come.
Yeah, so everything they will have watched as well. So maybe a bit much having four people on the show, but at least have some quotes and quotes. Some interviews with them.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes, we'll see.
Let's see if we can get them into that.
Yeah.
So that's about it there. And then next time we'll probably be in France.
After that. Next time after that.
Next time after that. Yeah. Well, anyway, two shows more.
So, Rune.
So, as usual, we really want your feedback. And like Jacob, then please write in. You can catch us at contact@theconversationpodcast.net. You can find us over at Facebook. And you can also find us on SoundCloud. And also iTunes, of course. I never think of iTunes. But iTunes would be a great place to look for us and leave us a review. Because the more reviews, the merrier.
The merrier. Like always, we're going to do a list on Letterboxd with the stuff discussed in this episode. We're laughing now because this is the only thing I can do in the outro, the Letterboxd list. Yes, I'm in charge of that in the outro. So you can look it up and please check out Letterboxd if you haven't.
Them out. Like, follow us there. Like, we both have personal accounts there. We have this throwaway, like, kind of a throwaway account for the conversation just to post these lists.
Yeah.
But please follow us over there. It would be great to get more input over there as well.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and of course, you can leave feedback there as well.
There are just so saying. Many platforms to leave feedback.
Yes. It was nice that you last time pointed out that we're very many places. we are. Maybe we should limit it a little bit and say we want it here, but like all the other ones, fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's discuss in France.
Yes. In France.
All right.
Okay.
Until next time, I'm Rune.
And I'm Triqui. And that's it for today. We'll see you next time.